We're grateful for your love and for your support, and it's been an awesome time to be here. We've enjoyed this ministry immensely, and we're thankful for all of you. And what I would like to do today in the final message is we've been doing a series on keeping on. Keep on evangelizing and keep on serving and keep on loving and keep on praying. And today we're going to look at keep on being available. I want to talk about who God uses today. On one occasion when I was in Chicago, I heard Adrian Rogers say, God has a marvelous plan for using ordinary people in extraordinary ways and bringing all the glory to himself. I'm going to ask a few questions here. You don't need to raise your hands. I want you to just hear the questions. How many of you have been members of an honor society? How many of you were voted most likely to succeed? How many of you were president of your class? How many of you have had your business recognized in the Fortune 500? How many of you have been honored for outstanding leadership? How many of you have been listed in Who's Who? How many of you have been listed among the multimillionaires in the United States? How many of you have been invited to dine with the President of the United States? How many of you have been selected Teacher of the Year, or Salesman of the Year, or Worker of the Year, or President of the Year, or Pastor of the Year? How many of you have been recognized as 10 of the most popular people in the United States? Now, for those of you who could have raised your hand, I have some good news for you. God can still use you. That's right. It may take more work, but he can still use you. You see, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for you see your calling, brethren. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God doesn't choose many that are wise, the intellectual. God doesn't choose many that are mighty, the influential. God doesn't choose many that are noble, those who are of high birth. Those are all fleshly claims to aristocracy and worth, culture, power, birth. But please, I want you to note a couple things here. God doesn't choose many of them. But notice it doesn't say he doesn't choose any wise, mighty, or noble. Not many mighty, not many wise, not many noble. There are some, but not many. He chooses some wise, like the Charles Ryries of the world. Some mighty, like the Chuck Colsons of the world. Some noble, like the Queen Victorias of the world. But God has chosen, look at verses 27 and 28. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame those that are mighty. God has chosen the base things of the world and the things which are despised and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. Primarily, God has chosen the foolish, the weak, the base, the despised, and the things which are not, those who are not. You see, it's not a matter of scholarship, it's a matter of relationship. It's not a matter of ability, it's a matter of availability. The only ability God really requires from you is availability. And then God will give you the grace and the power and the gifts and the strength to do what he has for you to do. It's not a matter of fame. It's a matter of faith. It's not a matter of greatness. It's a matter of grace. Now, Paul had it all. He was Pharisee of Pharisees. That's wisdom. He had might. He was from the fiercely fighting tribe of Benjamin. He had nobility. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He had them all. But you know what he thought about them? Paul said, I count them but dung, like a manure pile. Paul is not putting a premium on the weakness of men. He's putting a premium on the grace and power of God. Did you notice, as we read through these verses, three times over, God chose, God chose, God chose. Sometimes we get so caught up in what we are doing that we forget what God is doing. We get involved in so much in what we're doing for God that we forget what God is doing for us, and that without Him, we can do nothing. I want to make this clear. Without Him, we can do nothing. You know what nothing is? It's a zero with the edges erased. That's what we can do if God isn't involved, if God isn't working. We can do nothing. God uses foolish, weak, base, despised, no-name people, unknown people, to accomplish wise, wonderful, and powerful results. He uses ordinary people in an extraordinary way, and as a result, all the glory goes to God. It's not a matter of greatness, it's a matter of grace. Notice, first of all, he uses the foolish. Intellectually. There was a man whose father died in the Civil War. His name was Billy. His father died before he was born. Billy was raised in an orphanage, and he ended up playing baseball for the Chicago White Sox. One year he batted 356. He was 14th in the league. He led the league in home runs. One year he led the league in home runs and in stolen bases. He was known as the fastest man in baseball. And he took an 80% cut in his salary to go work for the Young Men's Christian Association, and he became an evangelist. And on one occasion, over an 8-day period, he spoke to 2,500,000 people about Jesus Christ. His name was Billy Sunday. Not an intellectual. On one occasion, the students from Westmar College asked me if they could ask their professor for permission to have me come and speak at the class. Because this Old Testament professor was talking about how all of the prophecies that seemed to be prophetic of things that actually happened were just written after the time or coincidental. And they knew that that was not true. And so they wondered if I could come and give a I gave him permission. They talked to the professor. He said, yes, I could come and speak to the class if I was willing to first come and listen to Bishop McCracken from Europe, who would speak the day before I would give my presentation. Bishop McCracken didn't believe there was anything supernatural in the Bible. And so we have Bishop McCracken from Europe and a lowly pastor from Lamar's. And God used simple Harlan to confound the wise. The professor and the students were amazed that there were legitimate reasons for accepting that the Bible was inspired by God, that there was even historical evidence that the Bible had been inspired by God. God uses the foolish. He uses the weak. Johnny was paralyzed from the neck down as a result of a diving accident. She would paint with a pen in her mouth. She sings, has a national radio ministry that brings encouragement and hope to millions. But she's paralyzed from the neck down. Her name is Johnny Erickson Tata. A college campus meeting featured Paul Anderson, known as the world's strongest man. And he did all kinds of things, including having a bar and like three big college guys on each end and raising them up in the air. And then he shared a little bit about Jesus. And there was a college student that came to know Christ, and he was asked afterwards if his decision was inspired by Paul Anderson's testimony. He said, well, no. What was it? And he said, well, it was Wilson's testimony. And they said, Wilson? Well, remember George Wilson? I don't remember. Remember he was lifted up on the stage after Paul Anderson was done and to share a few comments? And after hearing what he said, I knew that I needed Jesus. God uses the foolish. He uses the weak, physically, like Johnny or George Wilson. He uses the base. This term means kind of low down, born on the wrong side of the tracks, base socially, foolish intellectually, weak physically, base socially. There was a 13-year-old girl, black girl, that was raped. She chose to give birth to the child as a little girl. She named her Ethel. Ethel grew up, came to know Christ. God gave her a beautiful voice. She began singing at Billy Graham Crusades. And she's known for singing, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." Ethel Waters. In Judges chapter 6, we read about Gideon. Gideon was from the most insignificant tribe in Israel. He was from the poorest family in Manasseh, and he was a runt of the family. He was what you could say, what you could call base, a nobody. And God probably thought, you know, he's just about base enough, I can use him. And God took a nobody, no courage man, and a no weapon, no numbers army, and brought an amazing victory, and all the glory went to God. Because you see, God has a marvelous plan of using ordinary people in extraordinary ways, bringing all the glory to himself. There was another man. His parents were poor. His mom had tuberculosis. Her first child died within days of its birth. Then her husband died. She remarried, and her next child died within 6 days of his birth. Her third child was born deaf. This third child that was born deaf was given by God a gift. He came to know Jesus, and he wrote some musical pieces, Christ on the Mount of Olives, the Credo, Fidelis Solemnis, all of which expressed his faith in God. He composed many other brilliant masterpieces. His name was Ludwig von Beethoven. You see, God uses the foolish, the weak, the base, the ignoble, the wrong side of tracks kind of folks, and the despised, those who are branded with contempt, sneered upon by the world, despised positionally, like David. Oh, he's too young. You can't fight him. He's not been trained. He's not a soldier. He's a shepherd. Shepherds are looked down on. Besides, as the people said, Goliath is bigger than us. David said, well, he's smaller than God. People are thinking, Goliath's too big to hit. David's thinking, he's too big to miss. And in 1 Samuel 17, we read, although David is despised, David gets the victory, but God gets the glory because he goes out to fight. He says, the battle belongs to the Lord. He was despised by his own people. You're too young. You're too inexperienced. He was despised by Goliath. What are you? You think I'm some kind of a dog? You send a little boy out to fight me? I'm gonna kill you and feed you to the animals. David said, no, the battle belongs to God. And, you know, what would have happened if God had raised up an Israeli giant and sent out an Israeli giant to fight the Philistine giant, and the Israeli giant won? Yay, Israeli giant! But instead he sent out a young man to fight the Philistine giant. And what happened? Yay, God! All the glory went to God. Does the world sneer at your position or your power or your weakness or your family? And God can use you. And then the fifth thing it says is, the things which are not, the unnamed, the unnoticed, personally. These are people who didn't make who's who. They didn't even make who's not. They're not popular. They're not powerful. They're not prestigious. They're relatively unknown. They don't make the headlines. Their name doesn't appear in the bulletin. They can't even lead in silent prayer. God uses them to set at naught those that are. Have you ever felt like you were a nobody? Have you ever felt like you just don't count? Or like others don't even know you exist? Oh, I want you to let this passage encourage you. God can use the wise and those that are not wise. God can use the mighty and those that are not mighty. God can use the noble and those that are not noble. God can use ordinary people in extraordinary ways and bring all the glory to himself. Look at the guys on our staff. Three guys, all from Iowa. We've got a youth pastor that's 56 years old and going bald. We've got a music pastor who didn't even know he could sing. We've got a senior pastor that's blind in one eye and 69 years old. It'll take another world to show who the truly great people are. We may know the most famous people, but we don't know the most faithful people. God knows, and one day God is going to reward them. We may know the most famous churches, but we don't know the most faithful churches. God knows, and one day God will reward them. We may know the biggest churches, but we don't know the best churches. God knows, and one day God will reward them. You see, biggest does not equal best. Paul wraps up this encouraging passage with three words of challenge in verses 29, 30, and 31. One challenge in each verse. First of all, verse 29, a rebuke to our pride. That no flesh should glory in his presence. That no one should boast before God. You see, God uses a person, and then that person becomes proud. We're like the red-headed woodpecker in East Texas. He was pecking away at a pine tree, and on about his 16th strike, lightning also struck the tree, and he thought he had split the tree in half as it split and fell to the ground. He backs up a little bit, hovers there, looking at it, takes off, comes back with nine of his friends and says, "See, there, that's the tree." You know, we need to be careful to remember that any good that we accomplish is because of Jesus working through us. God doesn't use us in light of our wisdom and power and strength. God uses us in spite of our wisdom and power and strength. It's not a matter of greatness. It's a matter of grace. And God working through us. Without him, we can do nothing. A rebuke to our pride. Verse 30, a reckoning of our power. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Those of us who have placed our faith in Christ, we have been placed into him, and he is in us. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ living in me. Philippians 2:13, I can do. It is God who works in you, giving you both the power and the ability to do his will. God working in you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things God wants me to do through Christ who strengthens me. Colossians 1:27, that everyone might become complete in Christ. We have Christ working in us. That's the power we have. We have this power in earthen vessels, Paul writes to the Corinthians. We're like an earthen vessel. We're like clay pots. Most of us cracked pots. But, you know, God works in us. And God works through us. The next time you're tempted to say, God can't use me, I want you to remember this. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah was a man of unclean lips. Jonah ran away from God. Naomi was a widow. Job was bankrupt. John the Baptist had a poor location. Peter talked too much and denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while he was praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul persecuted believers. Timothy had an ulcer. Don't say God can't use you. He used every one of these people. It's not a matter of you being great. It's a matter of you tapping into God's grace. God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways and brings all the glory to himself. Now, thirdly, in verse 31, a response of our praise. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. A response of praise, glorying in the Lord, praising the Lord, exalting the Lord, honoring the Lord. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so Christ is in us, and he works through us, and then we give him all the glory. We live our life like salt and light, in such a way that people, when they see our good works, we've given honor to God, and so they know that to give glory to God. Earthen vessels are to be dispensers, not depositories. We're not just a depository for his grace, where we take it in and enjoy it. And we can, and that's good, but that's not where it's to stop. We're dispensers of his grace. We take it in so we can give it out. We take in his love so we can give his love out. We're stewards, Peter writes in 1 Peter 4, 10, 11, as each one has received his grace. We're to be stewards of his grace, and we're to share it with others. If God has given you the grace to speak, then speak as it were the oracles of God. If he's given you grace to serve, then serve by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God will be glorified through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Because God has a marvelous plan to use ordinary people in extraordinary ways. God has a marvelous plan to use you in extraordinary ways. And use me in extraordinary ways and bring all the glory to himself. God wants to use you. Keep on being available. Father, what a privilege it is to call you Daddy, Abba, Father. What a privilege to be a part of your family, to have Jesus Christ in us and working through us, how Holy Spirit empowering us to serve as your ambassadors to a world that needs to hear of God and his love and his grace and his forgiveness and the eternal life that he offers. To be servants to one another, giving our lives to one another and to you. Thank you for giving us the incredible privilege, the incredible honor, not only to be your child, but to be your ambassador. Help us, Father, to keep on being available. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.